Welcome back into Sports Call right here on Tiger 93.9 FM. JJ Jackson, Brooks Childress getting a chance to spend some time with Chuck Oliver. You can hear him on our sister station, WAUD 1230, right here in the Auburn area each and every day. Chuck Oliver, kind enough to spend some time with us. Good to see you again, Chuck. How are things?
Yeah, I appreciate it. We've been doing this, you know, every 12 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we had you last on in February, I believe. But you're right. It should be just be more frequently than it currently is. Absolutely. We'll be sure to set that up. This week, you've already got a chance to catch up with Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt. We'll get to some of that in a little bit, I'm sure. But what number of media days is this for you, Chuck? Like, if you had to total it up for us.
22 or 23.
Okay.
And the fun part is, I used to do Conference USA game of the week.
Okay.
On TV, and so I go to Conference USA every year and ACC media days. And so July was one of those times where you're always looking forward to it because it means football's back.
Right.
But I'd also look and go, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
So we're actually sending my producer actually up to Charlotte tonight.
Okay.
This is the last year that John Swofford gets to pretend that the ACC is on par with the SEC because he's about to get told. You will not have your media days overlapping with the Southeastern Conference. It's going to be TV inventory and we're going to separate you all. So this is the last year we got
to
deal with that.
Right. So you're no stranger to SEC media days, but is there anything about 2019 that, like, what's when you're thinking of media days, what was the first story that came to mind for you this year?
I was suspecting that we would have the announcement from Greg Sankey about the location. You put it up for bid. It's a marketable commodity. And it really is kind of maybe, it's one of the final bricks in the SEC wall that this isn't just the old Southern boys anymore. This is big time, billion dollar business. When you're going to turn a profit, you're going to market media days. It's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking. Now,
right.
It's important people talking. Kirby Smart's important. Nick Saban's important. There's a bunch of people sitting around talking. They've turned the NFL draft into big ratings. It's a guy reading off an index card. It's amazing to me what we all turn and tune into, but it's the interest in the subject, and so that's why we have media day. So I was expecting that they would turn this into a roadshow, and that was one of the very first things out of his mouth yesterday. Atlanta next year in Nashville.
Are you excited to be going back to Atlanta where you don't have to really be?
No. No, everybody loves a home game. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
No, I've liked it here in Hoover, first of all, because it's plug and play. I mean, they've got the routine down, and there's supposed to be a little bit of craziness and chaos and all of that. And plus, I like it for the fans. You know, I like really cool stuff that the fans can be a part of. And all you have to do, if you want to see Nick Saban and maybe get an autograph and get a picture, all you have to do is show up at the hotel and it might happen. And that's not accessible for most fans.
Sure. Looking ahead to, talking actual college football instead of just talking games. Look at Auburn's schedule this year. It's a really tough schedule. They open up with Oregon on a neutral site game, go on the road to LSU, on the road to Texas A&M, on the road to Florida, and you get Alabama and Georgia. What do you see from this Tigers team going into 2019?
Every bit as talented as last year. With Jared Stidham going off to the NFL. Who was it that said it was the most talented roster top to bottom that that Gus Malzahn has ever had?
I can see the quote. I'm blanking on who said that as well.
And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that it might have been Luganville that said that.
It was Tom Luganville. Okay. You're exactly right.
And I'm looking at the roster and it's like, yeah, I get it. Get here. And the fact that you actually have a better, improved experience in offensive line, that has been the undoing of Auburn, I believe, the past two seasons when they've had their worst moments, which 2017, I mean, being two number one teams in 14 days, that's something. There was also the Clemson game. The worst moments have been associated with the Auburn offensive line, and simply through outlasting everybody else. They keep coming back, they kept coming back, and now they're drawn in with a bunch of starts. Now, they're not five All-Americans, but they're five 21, 22-year-old men out there going against, in almost every case, people who are going to be younger than them, so there's a physical advantage there. So if that's improved, this could be a better squad than last year, but you still have to compete against whoever runs out of the other tunnel. 8-4, Auburn fans aren't going to be happy with that, not in the least, and they shouldn't be. But you could go 8-4 this year from Gus Malzahn and not have a bad year.
Sure. What do you make of all the noise that's happening right now with Auburn fans and the pressure that's on Gus Malzahn this year? Because then you've got, Allen Green just still really brand new to this whole thing. And then all of the chaos that's taking place with the university president.
When you look at Gus, I think the one lasting image right now, the takeaway for a lot of fans, is the EKG on duties. I'm hands off, I'm a CEO. No, I've got to get back involved. No, I've got to be more, I'm going to be in Bear Bryant's tower looking down at Prime. No, I've got to be involved. I know he took the play sheet at the end of the season, the Music City Bowl, and they rolled up, you know, 300 points against Purdue. That's great. I need to see some consistency and longevity, because when your coach keeps bouncing back and forth between the roles that he has, here's what kids want. They want a consistent, same message enough times that they don't have to think about it anymore. And that's just not what it's been from the sidelines at all. I can have a problem be out on the field sometimes. Maybe you're faster and I can't catch you and it's a touchdown. It happens. I can never have a problem being on the sidelines.
On the football field this year for Auburn on offense, do they have another 1,000-yard running back? They had that long streak going last year.
Well,
for
9 Boobie.
Years. Boobie, and you think he can't get over 1,000 this year with us on the plays?
And if he would have been injured last year, I think he could have done it as well. You know, I don't know if he got injured. He just got hurt.
Right.
He got banged up a
right.
little bit. I think Boobie's a really good running back. And here's the funny thing. He collects tackles. I mean, it's almost like he's got a linebacker back. He's like, oh, some contact. Let's go get it. And I was like, it's okay to just keep running, you know. He embraces the physical part. And it's a lot more Michael Dyer than maybe Trey Mason.
Sure.
But Michael Dyer worked, didn't he? I mean, you went ground and pound for 1,000 yards as a freshman in a national championship. I think Boobie Woodluck would be a really, really outstanding back. Not Nick Chubb, Darren McFadden, you know, that level. Marcus Lattimore. But he can be a really, really good running back.
Let's talk one more big picture Auburn question. Not getting into 2019, but over the past couple of weeks, all of our listeners have been calling in. We had a bracket. We're trying to figure out who's the best Auburn wide receiver since 2000. The fans chose Courtney Taylor over Ben Okamanu. Do you agree
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely. Okay. I remember back in 2004, you know, covering the team back then. I told a buddy of mine who's an Auburn guy, the media is an Auburn grad. I was like, because that was Okamanu and Arona Shodu and
all
Anthony
together,
Hicks
yeah.
and who was it?
Right.
They had 6-7 different guys they could throw the football to. And I looked at, you know, Courtney Taylor, I don't know, he had 40 catches that year or whatever. It's like he's one of the best receivers in the entire SEC.
Yeah.
And I remember the story. Tuberville offered him at a basketball game, at a high school basketball game.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if y'all know Tuberville very well, but his reputation was, I had a buddy of mine that works in recruiting, and he said, I've stopped evaluating all recruiting classes. Why? He said, Chuck, I do this 25 hours a day. Tommy Tuberville keeps offering kids I've never heard of. He says, this Courtney Taylor is a quarterback in, I think, single-A football. And he's like, he just offered him a scholarship. I have no idea who this kid is. He offered him during a basketball game. He looked at him and said, wait, he's an athlete. Get a scholarship. And we'll turn him into whatever. Turn him into a really, really outstanding wide receiver. So if you want to say Courtney Taylor,
yep.
I ride with you.
There you have it. Courtney Taylor, best wide receiver since 2000. That's also Chuck Oliver, best sports call guest that we've had so far.
Thank
on
you,
Radio
gentlemen.
Row. What can folks expect on the show coming up for the rest of this week?
Well, so far I've been real blessed getting the coaches. Got them all yesterday. Today we got Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart so far. Of course, we got I know we're getting Jimbo a little bit later today as well. So, and I believe Matt Luke.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's going to be a busy day.
That's Chuck Oliver. Listen to him every day, 12:30 WAUD here on Sports Call.